I want to, our reading today, if you want to make your way to Exodus, we're going to be reading out of Exodus chapter 40, verses 33 to 38. Real easy to find. Just go to the back of Exodus. It's the last five verses. Before I start this reading, though, I'd like to do just a quick review of Exodus up to the point of our reading. So the book of Exodus, I think for many of us, is a pretty familiar text. Who here hasn't seen the Ten Commandments? At 3 hours and 39 minutes, plus a 10-minute intermission, it still remains the longest movie in motion picture history. And there's a very good reason for that. Moses and God were very, very busy people in the book of Exodus. I'm just going to skim over the highlights. We've got the burning bush, the battles with Pharaoh, 10 plagues, Passover, the flight from Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, 40 days on Mount Sinai, the golden calf, Moses' intercession with God, another 40 days on Mount Sinai. And that leads us to the point where our reading starts. So all of this occurred in the period of about 18 months. All right, that's about how long we've been in COVID, all right, to give you a little perspective. So our reading picks up here at the point when the tabernacle had been perfectly constructed by Moses' people and perfectly arranged by Moses per God's explicit instructions. And this is at the point where Moses has completed the tabernacle, and this is where our reading picks up. So Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 to 38, hear now the word of the Lord. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all the journeys. Let us pray. Most Heavenly Father, be with us this morning and bless this opportunity to share in your holy word. Let us always keep our eyes upon you. Let us always trust that you are our God and you will always be with us. Give us strength in our hearts and minds to know that your provision and your grace provide for us beyond any scale that we can comprehend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if I could only use five verses to describe the book of Exodus to someone, I would have to pick these five verses. Everything in Exodus leads up to this incredibly climactic ending. It kind of reminds me of one of my favorite cliffhanger movies. Maybe some of you recall the Star Wars trilogy at the very beginning. The second episode of these movies was The Empire Strikes Back, where at the very ending, Luke Skywalker discovers that Darth Vader, the evil Darth Vader, is in fact his father. And he throws himself from a railing and he disappears into oblivion. And you kind of walk out of the theater and you say to yourself, now what? Exodus is kind of like that. You get to the end of Exodus and you're left kind of wondering about a couple of items. What journey lies ahead for Israel? Will God stay with them? Will that cloud of glory be with them always? And why can't Moses enter the temple? The book of Exodus is a lot like The Empire Strikes Back. It cries for a sequel. Maybe we can come up with a name for it. Maybe Pentateuch 2. Or The Commandments Strike Back. I like that one. So I'll try to answer some of the cliffhanger aspects here in Exodus, but more importantly, I want you to leave today remembering three concepts that this scripture points us to. And I think these three items should bring you great joy and great encouragement. First of all, God is with us. God is filling us. And God is facing us. Now, we're going to explore each of these, and we're going to kind of run all around Scripture. We're going to be in Exodus. We're going to be in Genesis. There's just so many references. It's really quite incredible. So let's just talk about God with us. All right, we know in our head that God is with us. But sometimes in our hearts, we are human, we are flawed, and we sometimes have doubts. We read in Scripture about God leading his people every step of the way. But for us today, I think we maybe sometimes pause and say, is God with us? I mean, is God really with us? And I think sometimes we have doubts. But I hope that after this sermon, you're going to see that truly God is with us. And where we're going to start is we're going to start right in the very beginning. We're going to jump to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Hear now the word of the Lord. And they heard the word. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, there are several interpretations of what form God took in the Garden of Eden. God is spirit, but as we'll see in our message today, he can take many forms. I personally believe God took physical form in the garden, for how else could you hear the sound of the Lord in the garden? The presence of God in the garden with Adam and Eve depicts a rather intimate relationship between them that I think is somewhat uncommon in Scripture. Adam and Eve lived in harmony. They lived in harmony with each other. They lived in harmony with God. But as we all know, this was short-lived as Adam and Eve decided to choose rebellion over obedience. And as a result, they were alienated from the garden. They were alienated from each other. And they were alienated from God. God wants to be with man. That was his plan from the very beginning. But again, this was only for a moment. And after the fall of mankind, God and humanity were separated by sin. If we move forward in time and we want to explore further how God is with us, we come to our reading, the time of our reading. We come to Israel's exodus from Egypt. Here, the people of Israel have been in slavery for 400 years. This was a very defining moment, a formative event that shaped their understanding of what deliverance looks like. But God was not delivering them from slavery. God was delivering them to him. God was keeping his promise that he gave to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verse 8. I will be their God. God wanted to find fellowship with his people and to dwell among them. And as we read further in Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. Reading further in chapter 29, verse 45 to 46, I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God. As packed with events that this book is, the last third of the book of Exodus, from chapter 25 to the very end, has a singular focus, and that is to create a place for God to dwell with his people, the tabernacle. Listen again to that one part in chapter 28, verse 8, that I may dwell in their midst. We've all heard of some of the urban legends about celebrities living on the outskirts of town or moving into town. Here are just a couple of them. Matthew McConaughey was reported to be moving to Mulvane, Kansas, a small town just outside of Wichita. Matthew said, "I like Kansas and I like the people there. This would be a great place to raise a family." Tom Cruise fell in love with the town of Buffalo, Missouri, a small town outside of Springfield. Tom told People magazine in an interview, "Everything is so orderly here." And he really liked that Chinese restaurant called Sim's. And he was really excited to try the other two restaurants, Pizza Hut and Hip Pocket Pizza. So, you know, we seem at some level to be aware when all celebrities move into town. But would you know if God moved into town? Israel was not dealing with some comparatively powerless tabloid celebrity moving in. We are talking about the all-knowing, the all-powerful, eternal God, the Mount Sinai wrathful God. "I am who I am, God, and I will have mercy on who I will have mercy, God." Picture, if you will, 2 million people. Let's pick a desert town, let's say Phoenix. So, and Phoenix is roughly 2 million people, so it's a good fit. So picture, if you will, 2 million people in the desert, and there they are amidst the tabernacle and God in his presence. And by day, the tabernacle is filled with a cloud of glory, and by night, it is filled with fire. Do you think a few people might catch on to what's going on? All right. For Israel, this was a really big deal. They lived in fear of God. He was unapproachable. Mount Sinai, with God's cloud and fire of glory, had just come into their neighborhood. And unlike some of the gods that are distant, relatively powerless, or both, God was putting his tabernacle in the very center of these 12 tribes. God wants fellowship with his people. He wants the best real estate in the desert, and he wants the best real estate in our hearts, because he loves us, and he wants to reveal himself to us further. God was most definitely with his people, but they still remain separated by sin. If we continue forward, we discover God's continuing preparation of us for him to dwell with us when we look in John chapter 1, verse 14. "Hear now the word of the Lord. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." In these words, the true fulfillment of the glory-filled tabernacle is revealed. The word "dwelt" is the Greek equivalent of the word "tent" or "tabernacle." The glory-filled tabernacle has once more returned to his people. Jesus is the tabernacle. Jesus is the burning bush. Jesus is the pillar of fire. Jesus is the cloud of glory of God on earth. Jesus has come. He's not contained in the tabernacle, but he's walking in the streets of Jerusalem among his people. You remember the cliffhanger I talked about earlier about Moses, and he wasn't able to enter the tabernacle? Let's read this again in Exodus chapter 40, verse 35. "And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Moses, unable to enter the tabernacle. Moses had an intimate relationship with God, and for so many years he worked to connect his people to God. And now he cannot enter the very structure created for that purpose. How can that be? To help explain this, there are similar situations between God and Moses, one that happened earlier in Exodus. You might recall this from Passover. The blood of the lamb painted on the doorpost kept God from entering the dwelling that Moses was in. In chapter 40, the situation is reversed, and Moses could not enter the dwelling where God was. In both cases, as God could not tolerate the presence of sin, God was protecting the sinful Moses by keeping him separated from his holiness. As we read in Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, man shall not see me and live. All of this points to the true Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who covers our sin and through his death and atoning sacrifice on the cross reconciles us to God and restores God's fellowship with mankind. The temple curtain that separated us from God is torn. We can now go where Moses could not. Let's read more. If we go to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 to 16, hear now the word of the Lord. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Clearly, Scripture demonstrates for all time that God is with us. And through Christ, we are united with him in fellowship. But there is more. Not only is God with us, but Scripture also unfolds to us that God fills us. He fills us with his glory. Follow along as I read once again Exodus chapter 40, verses 36 to 37. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. The Israelites had it pretty good. When the cloud of glory came down on the tabernacle, they stopped and set camp. If the cloud of glory was lifted from the tabernacle, it was time to pull up the stakes and move on. All they had to do was watch for the cloud of glory to know what to do. Pretty simple, pretty clear. God's people were in the presence of his glory. His cloud of glory and his pillar of fire were the visible presence of an invisible God. God was proclaiming to Israel, "Here I am." So what about us? What about today? Where do we look for God and his glory? To answer this, Jesus foreshadows to his disciples before his death how God's glory will come to them on the day of Pentecost. Let's read a portion of what is known as Jesus' farewell discourse from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 25 to 26. Hear now the word of the Lord. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring your remembrance all that I have said to you. And on the day of Pentecost, we read in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from the heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. As God's love for us endures forever, so has a place for him to dwell or tabernacle with us forever. in the Garden of Eden, in the tabernacle, in Jesus Christ, in you, and in me. As we read in John 14:16-17, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. God led Israel in a cloud of glory and a pillar of fire, and he leads us today with the Holy Spirit. God is with us, and God is in us. We do not need to camp in the desert. We do not need the tabernacle. Our church is the tabernacle. You are the tabernacle. I am the tabernacle. God is with us, and through Jesus Christ and the Father, we have been filled with the Holy Spirit. How can it get better than this? Well, guess what? It can. And one day it will, when we will be face to face with God, as Scripture tells us in Revelation 21. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. The kingdom of heaven, the new Jerusalem, which represents the beginning of the newly created order, back to the beginning where we once again may walk in the cool of the day and enjoy fellowship with our God, face to face. No more death, no more sin, no more separation. No more camping. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how lost we would be, how dead we would be inside without your love, your grace and power of the Holy Spirit, working to lead us and to sanctify our souls. We thank you eternally for your Son and his blessed sacrifice for our sins, so we may stand before you face to face in your kingdom, bearing the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In his blessed name we pray. Amen.